I can't believe you said that to me.
How many years have you been on council now, Bob?
Yes, Mommy.
Team here, second only.
What do you got here?
Penrose.
Hi, Chrissy.
No. I know.
So.
She like that to me,
isn't it? I agree.
Have things left. Oh, I figured she'll probably be going like this.
You going down this weekend?
I'm going to be going down.
I'm glad I get told. You get told before me.
Yeah,
you get told before me. Shit, it's good. Well, we know that, but she won't even. But she didn't invite me. I'm putting her on record. She didn't invite me.
I was away.
Yeah, I know. I ended up. I ended up. Mark. Okay. If
well, you go with it.
Every day like a holiday, Bill.
We're gonna set up upstairs. We're gonna set up upstairs. Okay, all the stuff. I'm not hearing all that stuff downstairs. I'm not working all that. They want us to stay at the show or not.
Yeah, we're supposed to eat over there, aren't we?
He said, well, what about the difference? It's still.
Are we going upstairs for the next meeting? Okay, Sheldon's not going to be here too, right? All right, he's not coming. All right, who's going to be here?
Yeah. We might like to all be there.
All right, all right. Go Patty. Okay, we're going to have a land use meeting of Tuesday, August 23rd. We're running a little late. We had a couple other meetings. In attendance, we have Councilman Bell, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Weiner, Councilman Cartier, Councilwoman Kirkpatrick, Council President Kovac, Councilman Powers, Councilwoman Doerr, and Councilman Sheldon and Councilman Street will not be here for this meeting. They'll be here for the council meeting tonight. Okay. First thing on the agenda, we have adoption of minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. We have a resolution. There's no number on it, and it has to do with the plan of the property of Newcastle Hunter, and it's Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is a Sanjay property located off Appleby Road. It actually has to do with the demolition of a structure and the constructing of some new apartment buildings. In the spirit of trying to expedite this, I'd like to ask Mr. Tracy to come forward and let him present.
Okay, with the presenters, when they get ready to speak, could you please state your name so we have it on record?
Thank you, Councilman Retta. John Tracy from Young Connolly, Stargett and Taylor here on behalf of the applicants, Jatin and Rachna Soneji. They're the owners of the property as well as the developer. Most of council, with the exception perhaps Council President Kovac, are familiar with this property. This property was rezoned by council last summer for the purposes of constructing a small 20-unit apartment complex on Appleby Road. We're now before you for the final record plan approval of the same. There have been no substantive changes to the project since you approved the preliminary plan. I will note, because I know Councilman Weiner always likes to ask this question, there is a sidewalk extending from the entrance to the property up to the intersection of Appleby Road and Old Forge Road, which is less than a quarter mile up, where there is active transit service for DART lines. With that, should there be any questions, we'd be happy to answer them.
Anything from council? Nothing from council? Anything from the public? Got off easy, John.
No comment. Thank you, council.
Yeah. Okay, next we have the sub one. For ordinance number 10-0445, under Councilman Smiley, it's a rezoning map in Newcastle Hunter, east side of Bear, Christiana Road, north side of Pulaski Highway. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. In the spirit of making sure everyone is aware, this is Governor Square. Just so everyone's aware, it is Governor Square, the much talked about, much inappropriately maligned project. I do want to speak a little bit before I ask Mr. Tarabicos to come up and get a few things on the record, if I may. This has been in the works for well over a year. This project was outreached at the 740 Alliance, as well as the individual communities from the very beginning. Offers were made to anyone who wanted to listen to help work on this project. Stone Mill was one of the few, because they are one of the closest communities, that stepped up to be directly involved in this project. During my discussions with the representatives for this project, I've made several what I'll refer to as requests. Others may refer to them as other things, which have and continue to be agreed to. Number one, the representative of the St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church had expressed concerns that they get a new entrance, which would also be signalized when the state continued its work on Route 7. By the way, that is taxpayer funded. Because of these concerns, I requested, and the developer had agreed, that they would not be in operation until the improvements had been made. This agreement is somewhat moot at this point, as DelDOT has made this a requirement themselves. Number two, at my request, the developer has agreed that the deed restriction limiting the maximum buildable square footage to 232,000 square feet, which includes the current approximate 4,000 square foot TD Bank building, will be attached to the plan. That will be a restriction. The previous deed restriction provided for a maximum buildable square footage of 300,000 square feet. Thus, this agreement with the new deed restriction will provide at least 68,000 square feet more open space than the previous deed restriction. Three, when this project was projected to be a Lowe's, which created all the turmoil, the biggest concern I heard from the residents of the immediate area, such as Stone Mill, was that they felt that the Eden Square complex, as it stands today, is an eyesore, and then they did not want that duplicated by this project on the other side of Route 40. With these concerns in mind, I requested, and the developer has agreed, that architectural restrictions for both inside and out will also be attached to the plan. To be redundant, as I've stated this before in land use committee meetings, when we vote on a rezoning, we have to give our reasons. Many's the time I've sat here and the yay or nay is based on the recommendation of the land use committee or the planning board. Well, this has the recommendation of the land use committee. The planning board, which had a rezoning before it, was a 4-4 tie on the vote. What I would like to bring to council's attention, as I said, I've done this before. In the minutes of the planning board recommendation, of those voting no, Ms. Anderson voted no, and in her comments you'll see Ms. Anderson then asked what advantage the redevelopment option has for the applicant. Mr. Singer, who voted no, noted that there was a recent court case involving redevelopment, and he had asked the board's attorney to comment on the redevelopment case. Ms. Anderson also further stated she's always been troubled by the redevelopment ordinance and believes it is corrupting the code. Now, I know we're not here for redevelopment, but this is very relevant. Mr. Udo, who voted no, stated he asked how long it would take this application to get through the review process if it were not a redevelopment plan. Again, their comments revolved around redevelopment. Further, and if before council tonight anyone wants a copy, I have copies of the recording of the Planning Board business meeting of August 31st, 2010. At 9:37 of the recording, Ms. Anderson states she's no issue with the rezoning, issues with the redevelopment application. At 9:48 of the recording, Mr. Udo says it's redevelopment versus using other processes. 9:56 of the recording, Mr. Singer says he does not disagree that the plan is code compliant. And at 10:06 of the recording, Mr. Udo, there is resistance, so why can't the developer go through another process to minimize resistance? I go through this ad nauseum for my fellow council members, just to clear the air. There was a 4-4 vote by the planning board. Three of those that voted no voted based on redevelopment tag, not on the rezoning, which was actually the issue before them. So I would contend to you, no disrespect to the planning board, but their 4-4 vote is a moot point because three of the four were not based on what was before them. Had they voted on the rezoning, which their own words say is correct, it would have been a 7-4 in favor of. And just give that so council members are aware what actually took place. And with that, I would ask for Mr. Tarabikos to come forward with whatever he and his client have to say to council. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Tarabikos, before you start.
Thank you, Mr.
Council President Kovac.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make it clear for the record. I've stated this before when the issue initially came up, but I want to make it clear for the record because my prior employment at a law firm representing opposition to this development at the time before I was elected to council, and the perception or the potential perception of conflict arising from that representation, although it wasn't a part of it in my law firm, I am going to be and continue to recuse myself from this matter. And when it comes up for a vote tonight, we'll actually be stepping down from the chair and having our pro tem step up. But I will not be discussing this matter during this committee meeting, nor will I be participating in the vote or vote process tonight. Thank you.
And we have co-chair Tackett is coming in.
Okay.
Mr. Tyrikas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of council. I won't take much time here today because we're going to be back in 2.5-3 hours, and I'll make a full presentation this evening for council's benefit and when all of council's here. And I have a number of things to discuss tonight, but what I'd like to do is just cover some high points, even though I think Councilman Smiley did some of that already. I just want to point out that with me this evening and this afternoon and this evening is Mr. Deladon. Ernie Deladon is here, Jim Collins, both of whom were with Governor Square Associates, and Mark Parker, who's been the engineer on this project from day one and has done good work on this as well. One thing occurred to me that I thought I was talking about today was the county, Newcastle County, make no mistake, has a very difficult, onerous, costly, risky, and time-consuming land use process. I guess the good part of that is that when we finally come here before you with something like this, you can be sure that every issue has been dissected and looked at. That's the positive part of that. And in this case, we have every possible issue that's come up has been looked at, it's been dissected, it's been analyzed, and so when we come before you finally tonight, all of the issues are before you. And I know there was some discussion about perhaps some inconsistency in that in our process now, the two-step process. But all the issues, especially traffic, have been looked at and have been analyzed now. And so we come before you with a full and complete record. To reiterate really quickly, we have a 228,000 square foot project, which is not redevelopment. And it is a reduction from the 300,000 square foot office project, which is approved and has been approved for this project for many years. I will give you some specific information tonight. One of the things that's come up and we haven't talked about previously, there was some comment about office, and you know that Deladon hasn't pursued office, and kind of astonished by that because Deladon is more an office developer than a retail developer. The Christina Gateway building here on the riverfront, the Chase Center out on Delaware Avenue, the Deladon Corporate Center, the building in Corporate Commons, the Brandywine Corporate Center, all of those, which are, by the way, award-winning office buildings, are office buildings built and developed by Deladon. Deladon's company spent the last 25 years talking to, and I'll give you a complete list tonight, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Delaware Flight Simulation Facility, Discover Card, numerous companies trying to woo them to come to this site. There is no interest for office users at this site. It's not as if we sat on this site for 25 years because we're a retail developer and we were hoping to do retail. Deladon is an office developer and there is no demand for office here. I wanted to make that clear to all of you. Couple other things I wanted to talk about. In addition, on the land use consideration, there are a few things I'll point out to you. This plan is, and you have very thorough recommendations from the Land Use Department, does comply with the comprehensive plan. Number two, and the one plan that's furthest away there, and I don't know if you can see it, Mr. Tackett, or not, but point to it. I just want to recall for all of you, this project is at the Route 7 and Route 40 intersection. This is Route 40, and this is Route 7. All three quadrants at this intersection are developed commercially. This is the only one that's not. So it's very, very consistent. When you look at the issue of compatibility, consistency, suitability, everything around it is developed commercially, and this property now would be consistent with that as well. Also, Little hard to see, but what I've placed before you is a plan that shows Governor Square is planned, and the interconnection to Lincoln Center. This is Lincoln Center next to us. That's our most immediate neighbor. Again, they're connected and they're compatible. Just to remind you, Lincoln Center is 1.6 million square feet of commercial development. It has itself 200,000 square feet of commercial. So the commercial in Lincoln Center is almost the same as what's being proposed here, but it also has 500,000 square feet of office and 510 residential units. So our use will be a different type of commercial and therefore compatible and interconnected so that all of the residents of these 510 homes can shop at the stores here without ever going out to Route 7 or 40. And the interconnection is important. The other thing I will tell you is that not only does this come to you with the strong recommendations from land use, and yes, virtually all of the planning board was favorable to the rezoning. Councilman Smiley's right. I've listened to the transcript. I've read the transcript. I've been there, and I've seen it. And so, but there's also, and I think one of the misconceptions that you've seen or heard so far is that the community is opposed. Well, I'm here to tell you, and you'll see it, I think, even stronger tonight, there's a lot of community support for this project. And most importantly, the two communities are the closest, Stone Mill and Governor Square Townhomes. They will be here to speak in favor of the project tonight. In fact, Stone Mill is here today to speak in favor of the project. Governor Square will also be here. Governor Square Townhomes, that's 250 townhomes between the two of them. They're the most immediate neighbors. And there are many other residents who have today even sent letters, and I've seen some of them. I haven't seen them all. Also received calls, and I am aware of a number of residents who will be here this evening as well. So there is support at all levels for this project. The last thing I'll say is DelDOT. We waited a long time, and we worked very hard. The most important thing that I want you to understand about the new report we got from DelDOT is, and this is what I like the best about it, is the counts that were used for the traffic study are DelDOT's counts. They're not all our consultants. We did not pay the consultants to go out and count traffic. This was done by DelDOT's independent, objective consultants, and they counted traffic on November 3rd, November 9th, November 13th, and November 17th, and also again in March and April of this year. So those are all the counts that went into determining that this level of service at all 14 intersections are acceptable for this project. The last thing I'll mention is that we have submitted deed restrictions, as I guess requested is a kind word, requested by Councilman Smiley. You have them, and they're things that we've agreed to. We have shown you pictures and renderings of the buildings that will be built to distinguish them. I think you, again, not only the office buildings, but Governor Square, Brandywine Commons, all of the projects that Deladon has built have been first-class and attractive buildings. This will be as well. And we have given architectural restrictions to be consistent with that. So I have a little bit more to say tonight, but I won't bore you with more information right now. But I do want to talk a little bit tonight about some other aspects of the project that are important. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, before we go into any questions, we have Councilman Hollins is attending, and if I failed to mention Chrissy Roberts and myself, Joe Retta, as chair, co-chair. Okay, any questions from council? I can't see Dave.
Cartier.
Councilman Cartier?
Yes, I would like the applicant's attorney to address two issues. One, to go on the record about the fact that this project is not seeking any redevelopment bonuses or seeking any utilization of process of the redevelopment ordinance, just to discuss that. And also on the restrictions related to the amount of gross floor area that will be built.
Yes, okay, first of all, yes. Frankly, from the very beginning, Mr. Cartier, when I got involved, one of the conditions of my involvement was that the redevelopment portion of this project be removed. And that has been and hasn't been part of this project for at least a year now. So there is no redevelopment of this project involved. There will not be. And I've stated that on the record numerous times. On the deed restrictions, yes, the deed restrictions, the project will be limited to 232,000 square feet. The project as proposed is 228,000, and there's an existing 4,000 square foot bank. So the county is the beneficiary of those deed restrictions. They cannot be changed without county council approval.
As Mr. Terabigas, you're well aware of the controversy of paper redevelopment that initially kind of attached itself to this proposal and rezoning, and you've severed this so that we're not talking about redevelopment as part of this. It's just a straight rezoning for commercial retail.
Yep. Correct.
And I'd like to make a statement on that, Councilman Cartier. And Councilwoman Diller requested a meeting over a year ago, and Councilman Co-Chair Tackett and I had a meeting in land use with you guys there, and I think that's where we stepped forward about this paper redevelopment and where we're at today.
And just finally, going to that issue, in this recent, most recent iteration of the redevelopment ordinance passed nearly unanimously by this council, we set up criteria that would eliminate any chance of, you know, paper redevelopment projects that only have paper approvals realizing, not being constructed, realizing density bonuses, so that we were directing the incentives to demolition of existing blighted structures rather than benefiting paper recorded plans.
Right.
So we moved as a result of that controversy to clarify that issue in the redevelopment code.
Right. I don't think there's a building on that area that we're talking about right now. Councilor Smiley.
I just want to clarify for members of council, if I may. There is no ordinance number 10-045 that's on the table. Again, that's a rezoning we would be voting on. We wouldn't be voting on redevelopment. The idea behind substitute one was to give those members of council that had a concern, as well as the public, a comfort level, and then all substitute one does is it removes the terminology redevelopment from the ordinance. I just wanted to clarify that, so that when you vote, the word's not even there.
Thank you.
Not that it's a bad word, but it's not there.
Anything else from council? Can't see anybody.
Okay.
Dave, I can't see you. Is that a good thing? You got something to say, or you good to go? All right. Councilor Cartier?
Just one further comment, observation, question. If council were to go forward and approve this rezoning, the applicant would take the project into actual construction phase, what type of or what amount of construction jobs would be created as a result of that?
I wanted to talk about that tonight, and I'll talk about it now. It's one of the things I want to talk about, and it's a very important subject. As you've been reading the newspaper lately, as recently as Sunday, there was an article about the catastrophe, frankly, the construction industry is facing. Last week, there was an article on the 15th about the effect, and back in March, there was an article that said that we had lost thousands of construction jobs in Newcastle County. Not only will this project add, and I want to talk about that tonight as well, 500 to 600 permanent retail positions, will also add, on a temporary basis, $40 to $45 million worth of construction work. By our estimates and talking to the contractors we've been in touch with, that's probably at least 300 jobs while this project's being constructed for a year, year and a half, for $40-$45 million. So, yes, it is. And I think in this economy, it is an appropriate issue, and economic development is always an appropriate issue to look at in land use considerations. And I'll have some more information on that for you this evening.
Thank you. Okay. Anything from the public?
Thank you.
Please state your name.
My name is Sue Pierce, and I am a resident of Crossing to Christiana, a 55-plus community just off of Route 7 in Bear, Delaware. I am one of the plaintiffs, along with Lisa Snyder and Jack Durr, in a lawsuit brought against the county and county council for the improper procedures used when voting for the deed restriction change on February 8, 2011. It is now my understanding that the developer has committed to deed restrictions as presented on the original plan, limiting the gross floor area that can be built upon the property to 227,000 square feet. Our community is still opposed to any commercial big box stores being built on the property. Our residents would like to thank everyone for reaching the right conclusion regarding the resolution lifting these deed restrictions in an unrestricted manner and doing so in the proper manner. I have a legitimate concern with the recent traffic analysis done by DelDOT stating that the intersection of Route 7 and 40 passes with a D status. Early on, Mr. Cawley of DelDOT said that a traffic impact study should be done, and he was right. This intersection fails. My husband and I, along with many of our residents, travel through this intersection many times throughout the week and the weekend. When you reach this intersection, as the light has turned red, it is at least 2 minutes before you get a green light to proceed through the intersection. My husband and I were traveling through this intersection when a lady employee from DelDOT and two gentlemen were doing this traffic study. It was done on a weekday during the middle of the day between 1 and 3 p.m., not when the traffic is at its heaviest. When this recent report states that the intersection is passable with a D, this is just not a true impact study and should have been done during the weekday work rush or on a weekend. This intersection fails, and in 2 to 3 years, it will be impossible to traverse Route 7 and Route 40. In closing, I would like to say to the attorney for Deladon Developers that he has made a statement many times at meetings that I have attended at the Planning Board, Department of Land Use, that the developer of our community, Deladon, that DelDOT is the developer, was the developer for our community, Crossings at Christiana, and as I said, it's a 55-plus community. I must say that they do not get any stars in their crown for our development. According to DelDOT, DelDOT had the option of closing off our street, Gladstone Way, prominently from the community behind us, or they could place concrete barriers across the street so no vehicular traffic from the community behind us could pass through. DelDOT then had DelDOT place 3 concrete barriers across the street, the least expensive way of closing the street. DelDOT's estimate for doing so to close the street permanently is approximately $80,000. Our community does not have the funds to do this, and I have talked with our legislator, and there are no funds to close this off. We've had nothing but problems with pedestrians walking through our community, with their small children riding tricycles, bicycles, pushing baby strollers, bringing their dogs through, and allowing their dogs to defecate all over our property. And we have criminal activities taking place at that dead end. Also, the residents of other community behind us feel that we have a grassy knoll at the end of this, where the concrete barriers are. They bring their dogs there. They think it's a dog park. Throw the frisbees, throw the balls. And we've confronted them about this. They also allow their dogs to do their business on this grassy knoll, to no avail. So we really feel that our developer of our community did a disservice to our community by not properly closing off our development from those around us. Thank you. Yes.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, Ms. Pierce, I'd like to thank you very much for your comments. And I will tell you, I was out there very early on in my term. I looked at that road, went over it, and quite honestly, I personally had discussions with DelDOT, and they wouldn't even entertain permanently closing that road. And I'm not saying it's not what you want, because I've tried during my short tenure in office to get at least five additional roads closed that interconnect, and DelDOT would not agree to it. I have one that's being researched right now. Ironically, and this is somewhat self-serving, that I'm very pleased that you've come and made your comments, because time and time again, we've looked at plans that have come before us that have been interconnectivity. Everybody, you know, interconnectivity is a great thing to have. I've said before, and I'll say it again, it may have worked in Mayberry, but we're not in Mayberry anymore.
Right.
You speak what I hear from the overwhelming majority of the communities that I represent. They do not want the interconnectivity. They want some additional feeling of security by not having the roads and sidewalks interconnected. Right now, I have two communities in a battle because they put gates up on easements to try to separate their communities. So, I share it with you. I think sometimes, I guess it depends on who we talk to at DelDOT on what their opinion is, or whether they just want to nod and agree with us and send us on our way knowing we're not going to get what we want.
Well, I can say I actually have contacted our state legislator, Melanie George, and she has contacted the person that I have a contact with at DelDOT, and it's the same thing, and she just recently contacted them, basically stating that in March, legislation was passed to have 55 and over communities not be connected to any other community. She couldn't get anywhere with DelDOT, and therefore, you know, we're left vulnerable to all the activities from the communities behind us. And, you know, a lot of us moved there from out of state. We were not aware that there was a Section 8 development behind us. And it's just, well, I mean, there's a lot of drug deals that take place on that end at the cul-de-sac.
I do.
And they're all in the evening where they come, they blink their lights. Somebody from the other side comes, well, and they do their deal.
I don't want to go off track. I just want to say, and let's clarify, Section 8 is not a community. It's a program that homeowners choose to put their property in. So
right.
It's not a Section 8 community that's built. So just let me clarify for that. And as far as the 55 and older legislation, and then I'm done, I was more than disappointed than you, because I tried to get the legislation amended to remove the 55 and older communities and just make it communities as a whole. And then if they wanted to connect, let's put money in escrow, let it do it later. But that's a different topic. But again, thank you for coming forward. Maybe it's a little touch of reality, not only for developers, but for others, as to what the people moving into these communities truly want. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
That's it. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to add to what Councilman Smiley had commented on, and we sincerely appreciate you being here today, and I, for one council person, appreciate your comments about the interconnectivity. I know that sometimes you look at what's called smart growth, and there are developments, newer concepts where interconnectivity may work and should work. But I can tell you that Hal Drive and Collins Park is blocked off with the cement barriers from going into the development of Buttonwood Avenue, and we have fought with DelDOT to close that off permanently. They will not do it. Route 13, the development of Asbury Chase, folks cut through Route 13, through Asbury Chase, and through Grandview Farms out on the Boyd's Corner Road. You have a development that's newer with sidewalks. You have another development that has swales, so there's no sidewalks for the children to play on. So there's definitely public safety type issues. And just another one just to highlight, because I think you've touched on a very good point, is that Dutch Neck Farms, the community Dutch Neck Farms off Port Penn Road, will interconnect with Lighthouse Farms. And I don't want to get off the topic, but what I would like to ask is that you say that you've spoken with your state legislator. I think that more folks should talk to their state legislators to have them speak with DelDOT about some of the problems that we as council face and we have no control to correct.
Okay.
That's what I was going with. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Councilor Holmes, just a minute. Before we get started, another question. I just want to state one thing. We're here for this project. We're not here for closing of roads. That there you have to take up with the perspective of your councilman and your legislators in the area. We're going to talk about this and this alone. If we go off the subject, we're going to shut it down, and that is going to be the end of it. Councilman Hollins.
I agree.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You took the words right out of my mouth. I appreciate Mrs. Pierce coming forward as well as the other speakers, but I also think we have a responsibility to give due process to the applicant and stay on point. The fact that there are members of the public who, in my opinion, do not want interconnectivity, however, it's not consistent with the position of DelDOT, and this council cannot do anything about it. And I don't think it's fair to the applicant to incur the wrath of DelDOT's decision. I think that should be taken up with DelDOT. And secondly, on the issue of Section 8, it's a fair housing federal legislation that people on Section 8 can live in your community. They can live next door to you. So those kind of issues, I think, while they may be legitimate, I don't think they should cloud the merits of the application before us.
Correct.
And
okay, next speaker.
Okay.
Lisa Snyder from Christiana and the Historic Society. I'm going to really try to stay on point and also to get your attention. There's been a few issues that were brought up today. Mr. Tarabico saying that he has the support of the communities. I live in the community. He doesn't have our support. The other communities right on Route 7, he doesn't have their support. I'm not going to talk about traffic impact studies or traffic. I'm going to talk to you about economic growth, about jobs, and about big box stores and what they do to communities. First, I have maps. These are Newcastle County maps. There are 13 projects already been approved within a 2-mile radius of the Christiana Village Center.
And I don't have
an architect. I'm a part-time waitress, part-time disabled. But I wanted everybody here to see what Christiana is dealing with. And I don't think that DelDOT or council takes into account the future growth of our communities. These projects, and one of them is over 1 million square feet, is within 2 miles of this new development. We have other projects along Appleby Road, Hudson Village, which is right on 273, that's going to come before you for a variance. They want more access to 273. They want to put another entrance on there. None of this is taken into account when you are standing here or sitting here listening to Mr. Tarabico's. Okay? These projects aren't on your mind. I want to make sure that these projects are on your mind today before you approve another box store. I have study after study that I'm going to turn over to council that shows all of the economic hardships that are caused by big box stores. And these studies go back to 2004. They go from Canada to California and up to Vermont. Big box stores, if one of those stores sells groceries, what's going to happen to our local Union grocery stores? What's going to happen to the local Acme? They're going to lose jobs. The local stores are going to close down. And you're going to end up losing Union jobs if they put big box stores in these locations. We're happy that Mr. Tarabico's has the deed restriction and he has agreed to that. Mr. Smiley made a comment about the planning board and the 4 no votes that were based on redevelopment. If that's the case, then maybe this whole thing should go back to the planning board. If there's no issue of redevelopment, and that's what they were basing their votes on, then perhaps it's time to go back to the planning board. The comprehensive plan that started to approve all this redevelopment and new development is an outdated plan. There is a new comp plan that is being worked on now. The economy is in the toilet. There are so many people out of work. This man over here is tempting you with construction jobs that'll last a year, maybe a year and a half. And if we're lucky, there'll be tenants in those stores. What's going to happen to the other three corners of that intersection? You're going to go shop at the new stores, and the older stores are going to shut their doors. I'm asking you today to consider these, every one of these studies that I brought before you today. I know it's a last-ditch effort. We've been fighting this for a year. We went so far as to hire an attorney to file a lawsuit about the deed restrictions. We have been before you on many occasions to voice our complaints. I don't get paid for this. I've done all this research on my time. I did all these copies on my time because I care about our community and what's happening in our community. And if I need to go to a box store, I can go a half a mile up the road to Christiana Mall. What we need in our community are jobs. We need manufacturing jobs. We need small business jobs. Those are the people that hold America together, small businesses and industry. We do not make money on big box stores. Thank you for your time.
Any questions from council? Ms. Snyder?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to have that for the record.
Yes, sir. You want the pen?
Please.
I had to pay $10 for it.
You want $10? I'll give you $10.
Thank you, Councilman Levitt. My name is Bob Carl. Excuse me. I live in 101 Sugarberry Drive in Rutledge. I am in support of this project. It is going to add jobs to our vicinity. Right now, the traffic is what it is. You're not going to make a difference in the traffic because it's mostly when it's coming home from work, the rush hour traffic. They're heading north to south or east to west, and it's not because of what the stores. Create. So, as a resident, and I'm not here representing anybody else in my development, just as me, I'd like to ask for your support to support this project. Thank you.
Council Moretta, I'm Joe Shore. I live in the Bay Area. I pass through this intersection that they're referring to every single day. I also am in support of this project. We need jobs for the whole area of the state of Delaware. Why some of these people are complaining about the issues they have with people that are in their neighborhoods, it's because of the lack of jobs. The more jobs we have in the area, the less problems we have for this county, for the state, and I believe that we should be supporting this for the jobs. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Chandra Williams. I'm at 5 Painter Street. I'm in Stone Mill. I'm also the president of the board on the Stone Mill Maintenance Corporation. And about a year and a half ago, Del Don reached out to the community and asked for their input on this project. We reached out to our community as a board. We sent emails, flyers, had community meetings. Del Don representatives were there. They opened the doors up to us. They asked for input from the community, from the board. They asked what we needed as a community, what we wanted. We gave them our input, and they implemented it into the plan. They did the traffic studies that were asked of them. They slowed the project down. They made sure they did everything step by step. And throughout the process, they've included our community. I can't think of a time where I had a question and I sent an email out and didn't get an immediate response. Whether it was a positive or a negative response, they always responded. If our community had an issue, they addressed the issue, they resolved the issue. And I've been there since 2006. I've had open communication lines with Del Don. They've been a good neighbor. They've addressed any issues that are currently there with the Governor Square that is presently there. We abut their community. Our community abuts Governor Square there. Any issues that we've had, they've resolved them. Noise, vandalism, traffic concerns, they were there. They're good neighbors. Stonewall, again, had another community meeting, asked for input from the community. Any concerns that were there? There were definitely initially concerns regarding the traffic. Those concerns have been quieted. Recently, I sent out another mass email to the community asking for feedback. The negative feedback I had received before, I didn't receive this time. I received, thank you for the information, and everything is okay. This is what the community wants. It's what the community needs. We don't need some fly-by-night developer coming in and developing the land. We need someone who's here, who's in the community, who's grounded with good, solid roots in the community, who has a solid track record as a good neighbor, and that's what Deladon is. Something is going there, and we might as well get what we want, which is a project that is going to bring jobs to the community through a developer who's willing to work with the community and do what we need, and they've done that. After meeting with Deladon, the board did have another meeting as a board after talking to the community. They did pass a resolution in support of the project, mainly because the project is, again, what the community needs. I submitted a copy of that resolution through Councilman Smiley and a letter that I sent to Councilman Smiley today as well, again, in support of the community. And I'm here on behalf of Stonemill to thank Deladon for reaching out to us and ensuring that our needs were met through this project before the project was implemented, for taking the time to explain everything to us so we understood what we were dealing with, as opposed to listening to the rhetoric that was being put out there by their competitors. I appreciate being able to send that information to the community so they were informed with all of the things that were going on, so that they can make an informed decision, and their voices have spoken, and they've decided this is something that's very positive for the community. And as Stonemill being so closely related to Governor Square, I think that voice needs to be heard. So I do have the board resolution, again, in support of this project, as well as a letter that I submitted through Councilman Smiley that I hope will be considered by council tonight.
Thank you. Any questions?
Hi, my name is Deborah Rowland, and I am a resident at Stonemill and have been since 1999. I'm also a vice president on the Stonemill Maintenance Board, and from my living in the neighborhood since that time, I feel that the youth in the neighborhood definitely need the jobs. It's a blanket space over there on the other side of 7, and it's about time that something did happen over there to be more, make the community more vibrant. From my experience in the past, I trust that the Newcastle County and Deladon and Deldot will definitely make any improvements that's needed after the fact along the way, as far as the traffic and the lights and different things like that. But I just feel that it is necessary to maintain the lifestyle that we currently have in Stonemill, and that it grows so that our property can continue to increase in value. We need to keep it growing. It's right off of a major highway, and it needs to look good still when we come in there, as it did back in 1999, and it does today, but it does need some improvements. We need jobs. We need the youth off of the streets. They need to be able to work right in their neighborhood. That's the whole point. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Barry Shotwell. I live in Christiana. I have a real concern, as do Ms. Snyder and Ms. Pierce, as to the economic development guise of our developing property that has not been overly developed. I know we need the finances for our county, the tax money, the jobs, everything. I just have a concern that indeed we're developing in places that doesn't need to happen, and it will end up biting us in the long run. If we put buildings and things like that, we need to make sure they're occupied. I think we have plenty in Newcastle County that are not occupied at this time. I'd like to see a lot more effort going to occupying what we currently have built and what is there. And I don't think that's in this plan. Like I say, my concerns lie as to basically that we're developing a spot that indeed will be overdevelopment, will create too much traffic and too much of a problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Janae Griffin. I'm from Christiana Crossings. And my concern is the traffic from 73 and 40. If that highway is not expanded so that the width is much wider than it is now, it's already backed up. If you go in, and I think Mr. Smiley mentioned that before, work and morning and the afternoon. And I don't know if you've been there on Sunday when the Catholic Church lets out. They have to have a policeman there. So we do need that highway extended. When you're going to have other traffic coming through there at different times, then you need to plan for it. And to me, that needs to be done before you decide to let it happen. The plans need to be in place so that we know that the traffic is going to be able to move through so that there won't be a problem with the people in the community trying to get by. Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Smiley?
I just want to say thank you very much for your comments, and particularly on a personal note, I appreciate your bringing to light the Sunday issue, because I have to tell you, when I raise the issue of the amount of traffic that's generated by the church, you would have thought I'd committed blasphemy and they wanted to do everything, including excommunicate me from the United States. But it's an issue, you know, people never see what they cause, only what they perceive others will cause. But thank you very much for coming out today and sharing your comments.
Anything from council? Anything from else in the public? Mr. Tarabico, I see you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just, you know, we'll have tonight to talk about this too. Just briefly, I just wanted to clarify, Mr. Deladon did not develop crossings at Christiana. I think what I mentioned at prior hearings is that my client, and thank God, even in this economy, I have more than one, not a whole lot more than one, but Mr. Deladon's not my only client, but my client, the Julian family, Benchmark Builders, developed crossings at Christiana. And I've offered Ms. Pierce to pull my file to take a look at the history there, but as I recall it, we were told, actually the irony is that the adjacent communities, and David, you might remember, because I think it was your district at the time, I think the adjacent communities didn't want an interconnection. They're apparently now using it, and Deldot wouldn't allow us to block it off. They wanted the interconnection. We didn't have a choice in that, but I'll pull out my file and take a look and see what the history is there, and I know I'm out of order, because it's not relevant. But I wanted to clarify, it wasn't Mr. Deladon, it was Benchmark Builders. The other thing is, I did want to tell you, November 9th, November 11th, November 23rd, November 17th, March 24th, April 27th, May 19th, April 27th, and January 25th, all of those days, traffic was counted from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And on, these are Saturdays, April 2nd, January 15th, April 9th, January 22nd, March 26th, April 24th, May 21st, traffic was counted from 10 to 2 on Saturdays. That's the peak hours. That's when they were counted. Didn't count AM because AM is irrelevant. The office use would have a much, much bigger impact than the AM, so AM wasn't relevant to Delta. And this isn't big box. You know, the Lowe's is out of the picture. This is retail center. This is not big box. And I was going to talk about this tonight. I want you to understand, I represent the owners of the Christiana Mall. When Target put out information for applications, they got 3,600 applications for 400 jobs. 3,600 applications, 400 jobs. There are, Mr. Redder recently had a retail project in his district, and thank God there's going to be some additional jobs there. ShopRite is now coming into Governor Square. They're taking the old vacant Safeway store and bringing back 250 jobs. There is, if you build it, they will come. I can tell you, I represent a lot of retail developers. I can tell you that, and I said this before, the Christiana Mall has interest from at least another 500,000 square feet if they had some place to put it. If they can't put it there, there's room. The stores down at this intersection, as the folks from Stone Mill said, they're not going anywhere. There's plenty of business. It's there. It's very densely developed. And thank God we're creating jobs. There was an article, I was going to quote from it tonight, March 25th, I believe, when Wilmington Trust announced that they were laying off 750 people. There was a woman quoted in the article saying she was devastated, losing her job, because she was going to now lose her home to foreclosure because there weren't even enough retail jobs out there for her to get to keep her house. So even these retail jobs, are they the best jobs in the world? No, they're not the greatest jobs in the world, but they're jobs, and they're important, and they pay $10 an hour, and they pay more than that, and there are positions there, and they're helping the economy. So it is important, and I appreciate the folks from the community who recognize the importance of creating jobs. Thanks.
Thank you. Anything else? Councilman Taggart? Can't see you, so I can't.
I think next time that Mr. Terabigas tries to correct himself, he was much too lenient. He should be a little harder next time.
Okay. I'd just like to say one thing. Ms. Snyder was up here, and she was talking about the big box store selling groceries and all. Well, before the big box store came into play in part of my district, which was Walmart, and everybody's happy to see Walmart. I'm particularly not, but they're happy to see them, and they were selling stuff, and the Acme was in foreclosure twice. They were going to go out of business twice. They are right now, too. Pathmart with Superfresh is talking about closing up. And I've talked to the retail clerk representative, and they're the ones that gave me the information. So it's not the box stores doing it. It's the people behind the retail clerk stores that are a little greedy. They don't want to pay anything, and they don't want to do anything with the help. And they want to keep their prices up. So don't blame the box stores like Kmart or Walmart or anything like that. They've been doing this for years in their stores selling retail stuff. Councilman Smiley.
I know it's not relevant to the plan, and I will be brief because comments were made about putting businesses in other properties. Well, that's not Mr. Delvine's job. His job is to take care of his property and not others.
Right.
And, when the Safeway closed, he stepped up. We've all got vacant properties in our area. But he had his people put the nose to the grindstone and got out there. And within a few months, you got a contract. You got ShopRite coming in. They're down there expanding now. There'll be more jobs in there than were with the Safeway.
Right.
And I just want to touch base as far as being a good neighbor. I'm sure I'm not the only council member that doesn't continually battle with a local distribution center of some type about the shopping carts in the community. Years ago, they used to have someone with a pickup truck that would go around and pick them up and bring them back. It's an issue. It's an issue I'm dealing with 7 years. That's an issue that came up right away with ShopRite. Deldon went to ShopRite, said, you want to come in, we've got to do something. Well, there's going to be one of those underground strips.
You're going to put a fence in.
It's going to lock up. So I'm just saying, that's the type of neighbor. You see the type of construction, the renderings that they propose versus what's out there. And as far as cannibalizing, they own the other shopping center. On the other corner is a Wawa. They're not going to be putting a gas station up on this corner. So they're not going to devastate Wawa. And based on the tactics of Eden Square, I think they'll probably survive over many bodies now and in the future.
Thank you. Okay.
Excuse me, sir. Can I rebut something that you just said?
I'll give you a minute.
Okay. I want to know, I did a lot of research.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. I think this is all being recorded. She should come up to the mic.
Okay.
And, you know, give an opportunity.
Uh-oh.
That cost you $10.
That cost $10. Okay, wait a minute. I just gave you $10 worth of plans.
No, $10 just grew.
Real quick, and I will. Mr. Retta, the
just
comment.
Your name, please.
Lisa Snyder.
Okay.
The comments that you just made regarding the big box stores and the Acme, and the, do you base that on any studies? Because
I'll get you all the information you want.
Thank you. Because all of the research that I did, that I have spent hours and hours on, points it in the other direction. And as far as, it's not just a Wawa on the other corner. There's a Bassett furniture store that went out of business that's vacant. There's three restaurants. There's a marine store. There's a nail store. So there's a whole strip shopping center behind that Wawa, as well as a Walgreens. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Doing time here. We got our other, and then we got public comment, so we had a lot of public up here. Anybody else on council have anything? All right. Anything in order here?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. We going to...
We had, I asked for public comment, nobody stood up.
I'm sorry, I thought you meant public comment on this last issue. I have public comment that's not related.
What's the pleasure, counsel?
She's quick.
Absolutely, let her come
yeah.
up.
Come on up. Come on up, Peg. If the public wants to, does this have to do with this? Does this have to do with what we were just talking about this? Okay, if the public wants to leave, this doesn't have anything, is it relevant when we just...
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, will the next meeting be here as well?
From what I understand.
Okay.
I believe it will be.
Okay.
Yeah. I know.
Hey, Kristen, can you get the president? Go right.
My name is Peggy Schultz. I'm representing the League of Women Voters. The League has recently completed a two-year study on the impact of land use transportation planning to carbon dioxide emissions. One of the positions resulting from the consensus study is that we support directing development towards growth zones except for environmentally sensitive areas within those growth zones. We feel that greater public awareness of where proposed development will go in relation to both Newcastle County's future land use map and the state's strategies for policies and spending map can be helpful in terms of the county's land use planning. By putting greater emphasis on increasing density in our growth zones and decreasing density in agricultural areas, we can preserve our farmland, reduce vehicle miles traveled, and therefore reduce carbon dioxide emissions and reduce infrastructure costs, along with a host of other advantages. We respectfully request that at each meeting where a proposed development will come before the public, whether it is a planning board meeting, a county land use committee meeting, or a council meeting, that the development be located graphically on two maps, on the county future land use map and also on the Newcastle County portion of the state strategies for policies and spending map, and that's the one that you see over here. Because the growth zones for these two governmental entities vary slightly, and because the state map is far more simple for an untrained member of the public to read, we request that both maps be made available both online and at the meetings where the project will be discussed. In addition to showing both maps at all the aforementioned meetings, we also request that attention be verbally drawn to the locations of the proposed development and that the designations of the zoning be clearly stated. Now, I've given you a whole long list of things that we would like. We are really happy to minimize our requests if all of this is too bothersome. But at the very least, we would like for a map such as this and the future county land use map to be available at these meetings and for someone to just point, if nothing else, if this can't be worked out on the web or anything, if somebody could just point and say, this is where this new thing is going to go.
Okay. Councilor Smiley?
Yeah, I just want to make note that the Land Use General Manager is here, and I'm sure he would be more than happy to take your suggestions under advisement, because that's where it would come.
Thank you.
I'll be real brief. We have spoken to Peggy, and we thank her for our input on the process and the comprehensive plan. We are in the process of trying to get a much larger version of this map and the future land map mounted that will be on permanent display over at the Gillian Building at the beginning of the public hearings. And then we'll have just basically a marker on where those developments are. So that's in the process with the Land Use Department. When we spoke to Peggy about this, she brought this to our attention a couple weeks ago, and we are in the process of doing it. And we hope to have it up by the next public hearing.
Thank you. And who are you?
David Carver, General Manager.
Councilor Taggart.
Mr. Carver, I just requested in the process of you bringing this to fruition that you could perhaps generate a second one that we could have upstairs for our Land Use Committee meetings.
That'll be a $10 charge.
That'll be fine.
Again? Another $10?
You may now slither away.
Okay, there was a motion in order.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
What time are you starting the meeting down here? It's going to be here, right?
Yeah. We would like to convene executive as soon as possible. We have a couple interviews, live interviews, that are on a tight schedule, so we'd like to convene
tough
that as soon as possible.
Car.
So,
now?
Tough to do the dead.
My first year in office.
Yes.
I'm in down to the